I understand. I understand. It was just an aspiration.
Steve Busick, on behalf of Felipe Raimundo, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes. A traumatic brain injury that Mr. Felipe was diagnosed with from a fall at work does not necessarily have objective findings.
Did your client's injury, traumatic brain injury, as diagnosed by the forensic examiner, have objective symptoms?
No.
So Dr. Stumpf relied completely upon subjective information when he diagnosed a traumatic brain injury later resolved?
Yes. A CT or CAT scan in the hospital at the time of admission was completely negative. To instruct a jury that there must be objective findings to support reopening of a claim for aggravation is error. Mr. Felipe experienced subjective symptoms from the fall, a severe headache, a memory loss, and depression. Those conditions worsened following claim closure. His treating physician, Dr. Sukhachevin, who had also treated Mr. Felipe before claim closure, filed an application to reopen his claim for aggravation.
Did both doctors agree that he suffered from post-concussion syndrome?
Yes.
Did anyone point out the comment to the instruction 155-09 regarding the use of this instruction when the diagnosis is post-concussion syndrome?
What I did before the trial court was I cited Price, and I also cited the significant decision of the Board of Industrial Insurance Appeals. I don't recall whether I specifically mentioned the reference.
What decision did you cite? Do you recall?
Yes. Well, I cited Price and to the trial court, and I also cited the this is the case of In re Charles Lewis that I've cited in the brief, and I attached it to the reply brief, that decision, which oftentimes the courts defer to but are not bound by. Dr. Sukhachevin then filed an application to reopen claim following claim closure for aggravation of those conditions of severe headache, which had increased memory loss, and depression.
Now, he sought a limited reopening for further medical treatment only, is that
yes.
correct?
Yes, sir. That is what the... what the reopening was seeking was for further treatment. Mr. Felipe then had an MRI, magnetic resonance imaging, following the application being filed with the Department of Labor and Industries, and that was inconclusive. It could not be relied upon to support reopening. Even Dr. Stumpf, the department expert, who examined Mr. Felipe, testified that the MRI was not clear. There was no follow-up performed. The radiologist who read the MRI, as Dr. Stumpf testified, stated it was only suspicious for a small hemorrhage. And Dr. Stumpf testified that if Mr. Felipe were his patient, and the radiologist could not tell him what was on the MRI, Dr. Stumpf would have the MRI redone. At that point, the Department of Labor and Industries went ahead and denied reopening of the claim, and the appeal ensued to the Board of Industrial Insurance Appeals. There was no objective finding to support reopening of the claim. The increased headache, depression, and memory loss. Neither doctor testified.
Let me ask a question about that. You say there's no objective finding, and you've got a jury instruction that requires some objective finding. How did you argue this case to the jury after that instruction was given?
Very difficult. I did argue that it was an objective finding.
The MRI.
And I was put in that position to argue that this MRI was an objective finding when actually it was not excluded by the expert testimony.
And that sort of defeated your ability to argue your theory of the case then?
Yeah, it certainly did. And then, of course, the trial court judge over objection submitted instruction number 14 to the jury, even though there was this comment note in the Washington pattern instructions from which the instruction was taken, that the instruction was not, may not be proper, as it's phrased, in instances of mental, emotional, or post-concussion syndrome, which in essence, which Mr. Felipe was diagnosed with, that was the diagnosis of post-concussion syndrome, as well as it being a traumatic brain injury. And then in closing argument, counsel argued that there were no objective findings, reviewed the doctor's testimony, and argued and emphasized that there was no objective findings to reopen the claim. The jury returned a verdict for the defense, and the error became prejudicial in the case and should be reversed for that reason. Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Dane Henninger, Assistant Attorney General, and I represent the Department of Labor and Industries. The court did not abuse its discretion in instructing the jury for two reasons.
Can I ask you a couple of questions?
Certainly, Your Honor.
Do you agree that Dr. Stump had no objective findings to rely upon when he agreed with the diagnosis, original diagnosis of a traumatic brain injury?
Dr. Stump found no objective findings. Dr. Stump did perform a neurological examination on the patient that could have shown objective findings.
Okay, you're not answering the question I thought I was asking. Dr. Stump agreed that Mr. Philippe had originally sustained a traumatic brain injury that had resolved. Is that correct?
Correct.
And he made that diagnosis based solely on subjective findings. Is that correct?
Correct. Dr. Stump found no objective findings.
All right. Are you familiar with the board's decision in Nina Boyer case from December of 2014?
I am not, Your Honor.
All right. Well, then I won't embarrass you with questions about it. You make the argument that if Mr. Philippe wanted to pursue a claim based on subjective findings alone, he needed to present essentially expert testimony that you didn't need objective symptoms to diagnose a traumatic brain injury. Is that correct?
Your Honor, I believe my argument is that this jury instruction is proper unless it is a condition that would not have objective findings.
Okay. Well, given that Dr. Stump had no objective findings and made the diagnosis, why wouldn't this injury fit what you've just described?
Because there were several opportunities where objective findings could be found. For example, the MRI that we've discussed, Dr. Sukachvan actually indicated based on that there was an objective worsening compared to the CT scans from the time of claim closure. Compared to the MRI scan, he felt that the artifact was an example of a brain hemorrhage, and that was an example.
So if I have a traumatic brain injury and I have only subjective symptoms, I'm not entitled to relief under the Industrial Insurance Act, but if I'm fortunate enough to have objective symptoms, I am entitled to relief?
Correct, Your Honor, and I think that's consistent with all physical injuries. One can imagine, for example, a back injury where only subjective symptoms are there. The person has pain, they may have a change in gait, but we can't actually measure anything based on that.
If I have a brain injury and the sequela from that injury is depression, which is a psychiatric condition, rather than some physical manifestation of it, do I need objective evidence?
No, Your Honor. Price is very explicit in that particular scenario where a psychological condition would not need objective findings.
Is memory loss a psychological condition?
Memory loss is a symptom of an underlying condition. Something else causes memory loss, sort of in the same way that something else causes pain. It isn't the condition itself. It's a subject.
But we know that electroshock therapy can cause memory loss, so there's no trauma, and there are no objective findings afterwards. No remedy under the Labor and Industrial Insurance Act?
It would depend on what the underlying condition is and whether objective findings are possible in that scenario.
In what case do you rely on for the argument that you have to have objective findings dependent upon the underlying condition?
Your Honor, the case law has largely drawn a distinction between psychological and physical conditions. Most recently, the Court of Appeals found in McClure in 1991, it was the only indication I found where it was positively indicated that it's proper to instruct the jury that medical and testimony must be at least partially based on objective findings where there's only aggravation of a physical disability. But
Price goes through some history of old cases and finds instances where, for example, people had pain and didn't require objective findings. It sort of poo-poos this intervening idea that you have to have objective findings if the condition is one which physicians feel comfortable diagnosing based on subjective symptoms alone. Price seems to endorse that.
Your Honor, Price's main focus is on psychological conditions because of the nature of psychological conditions.
Well, is it that or just because that is what Price happened to suffer from?
Well, Your Honor, I believe that's what their focus is, but even if we were to expand that focus to just anything that didn't have objective symptoms, because that was Price's main focus with a psychological condition, there are no objective findings when someone has depression. They're necessarily subjective. But even if we were to find a physical condition that also met those conditions, that was not capable of having objective findings, that's not what the fact pattern is here, because here we have an MRI result that Dr. Sukhachevian relies upon in showing worsening, and then we also have a neurological exam performed by Dr. Stump where he could have potentially measured problems with reflexes, problems with motor skills, and he noticed none.
In Price, the court basically goes through a logical exercise where it examines the reasons why courts originally required objective findings and then dismisses both of those reasons as supporting the original case law as no longer appropriate under the current state of medicine and the ability of doctors to diagnose conditions. Would a similar approach be appropriate for traumatic brain injuries?
No, Your Honor, because I believe the underlying basis of the objective finding requirement that a medical doctor not simply rely upon what is relayed to him by a patient is still relevant here. And, you know, as we've noticed here,
why is it relevant? The forensic doctor hired by the state doesn't use that criteria.
Well, he reviewed for any objective findings himself. He didn't
need objective findings to make the diagnosis. He just decided, based on all of the subjective information he had, that this fellow was better.
Because there were no objective findings that anything had worsened, Your Honor. That was Dr. Stump's...
Well, if that's true, how could he diagnose any brain injury in the first place?
He relied upon the records of previous doctors, as is common in the medical field.
But he relied only upon subjective information in those records, didn't he?
I'm not sure, Your Honor. I believe...
I thought you said earlier that you agreed that Dr. Stump relied only on subjective findings in diagnosing a traumatic brain injury resolved.
Correct, Your Honor. And now we're at a point where we're not looking at whether or not an injury was caused. We're looking at whether that injury had
Okay, and why would we use different criteria for determining whether you suffered an injury or whether it was worse?
Because the worsening is anticipated as kind of an addition to the Industrial Insurance Act to protect workers to, you know, if their condition gets worse after what we believe the claim has closed. However,
do something I told you I wasn't going to do. Okay. I'm just going to read to you what the Board of Industrial Insurance Appeals wrote in December of 2014 and ask you to respond. It says, the requirement for objective medical findings in applications to reopen is excused for those conditions that are not subject to objective measurement. Contrary to the department's argument, there is no statutory or judicial requirement requiring objective medical findings to support allowance of a claim. Why is the Board of Industrial Insurance Appeals wrong in 2014?
The Board of Industrial Insurance Appeals is misreading the case law, which has largely just drawn a dividing line between psychological conditions and physical conditions. But even if we take what the board says as correct, that if you cannot objectively measure a physical condition, then it is improper to give, you know, a journey instruction such as this. In the present case, we do have possible objectively measured measurable matters here with
the
MRI.
How do we know that?
Well, we have the MRI, which Dr. Sukhachevan actually relies upon to show worsening. And Dr. Stump does perform a neurological exam that does have potential objective findings. There simply weren't any.
Because somebody thought there might be some here, does that show that you need to have them in order to diagnose this particular condition?
I believe you need that in order to ensure that the decision is based on a medical opinion, as opposed to just simply what a patient relates to a doctor.
Well, do you think Dr. Stump is a reliable person for purposes of forming medical opinions?
Certainly, Your Honor.
And is he able to form medical opinions about traumatic brain injuries in the absence of objective symptoms?
Your Honor, I believe he likely could, but that's
not
standard.
Well, he actually did, didn't he?
Well, based on the lack of symptoms, he indicated that it had not worsened.
He didn't say he never had one.
No, Your Honor.
In fact, he affirmatively said he did have one.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
A couple of points. When Dr. Sukhachevan was asked the question as to whether or how he supported the reopening or whether the MRI supported reopening of the claim, his testimony was at page 26, line 8, and the MRI of the brain showed evidence that the patient may have had a hemorrhage in the brain.
Let me ask you a question. One of the state's arguments is you needed to ask one of these doctors whether or not it was possible to appropriately diagnose a traumatic brain injury in the absence of objective symptoms, and that without that evidence, your case fails. What's your answer to that?
What I do have in the case is the opinion of Dr. Stump that the headache, severe headache, that the memory loss and the depression are typical symptoms of traumatic brain injury.
Does he testify that those are, with a history of a blow to the head, that those are sufficient for a diagnosis?
Very definitely. He talks in terms at that point in the testimony, talks in terms of concussion or post-concussion syndrome, which we would submit is the same as traumatic brain, TBI, traumatic brain injury. I would just point out one thing also in Price. Price was a case, we're talking about reopening a claim for aggravation, but the main reason for seeking reopening was an increase in pain. Four doctors testified who were not identified as psychiatrists, provided explanation as to why the claimant would have an increase in pain. And so that was couched by the court in terms of psychiatric testimony. and it didn't require objective findings to reopen the case. And that is the seminal case in the state of Washington by the Supreme Court. So the Board of Industrial Insurance Appeals, as you point out in Boyer, I don't have the cite myself, but I recall, and also Charles Freeman, essentially an analysis of price, applied it to other conditions as well, other than what could be strictly phrased as a psychiatric condition. Although in price, it was the increase in pain which was the motivator for the application to reopen the claim.
Thank you. Court is in recess.
All right. Court is in recess.